Wonderful to be back with you again after I've been gone for a couple weeks vacation. I was able to preach in my own home church where I grew up in last week, but it's good to again be back in this pulpit, which is now the church where I serve and live. This morning we will be reading from Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Is this, Dave, is this mic all right? I hear it whining. I can use this one. Okay. Exodus 23, and I'll be reading the verses 20 through 33. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's word. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will not be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the desert to the river. I will hand over to you the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. Do not make a covenant with them or with their gods. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me, because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you. That's the reading of God's word this morning. In our study of the book of Exodus, we have just finished the section on the civil laws of Israel. The last three chapters, God has described for the Israelites and for us the civil laws in which they are to live and obey when they someday live in the land. God has prepared a land for them, the land of Canaan, and there they will live as a theocratic nation in this land, as God's people, as God's nation. And now, as this section on the civil laws concludes, God tells the people what is ahead. He tells them what will happen as they leave Mount Sinai and as they move to the edge of the promised land. He also describes for them what will happen as they enter that land. What happens first? In verse 20, we read that God is sending an angel. And this angel will go ahead of the Israelites to guard them along the way and to bring them to the place that God has prepared. God is sending an angel ahead of his people. He will guard them. He will guide them. He will bring them to this place that God has prepared for them, this promised land. And how are they to view this angel? How should they look to this angel that God is sending who will lead them to this place? Verse 21 tells us that they are to pay attention to him, that they are to listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you." God is commanding his people to pay attention to this angel. He is commanding them to listen to everything that this angel says, to obey this angel, to not rebel against this angel, and to know that as this angel brings them into the land, he will cause the enemies to be enemies, and those who oppose them, this angel will fight for them so that they may enter the land. Well, who is this angel? In other places of Scripture, we read of the names of angels given. We read of the name of Gabriel. We read of the name of Michael. But what is the name of this angel? At the end of verse 21, God tells us, "This is the angel that has God's name in him." And so now, as the people reach the promised land, what does God have for them and for this angel? Let us read on in verse 23. "My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces." The task that God has for this angel as he leads the people is that he will destroy and wipe out the peoples of this land. He will destroy those that live there. And they, as God's people, must demolish their practices, demolish their gods, demolish the things that they did as they worshiped and as they lived in this land. God is calling for a separation here. A separation for the people that he has called holy, that he has just instructed through these civil laws as to how they are to live as a holy nation before God. Now God is calling them to wipe out these people and to start anew. Now, sometimes you will find a liberal commentator who will tell you that these verses seem to not belong. Because these verses in which God's judgment is proclaimed does not fit in a liberal theology. They do not view God as a God of justice. They do not view him as one who punishes sin, but they see God as a God of love, a God who loves all the nations and all the peoples of the world, a God who does not execute justice, but only demonstrates love. But turn back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15, God is making a covenant with Abram. And he tells Abram that Abram will be a blessing to all the nations. But he also tells Abram in this covenant, in Genesis 15, these words, starting in verse 12. "As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, 'Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. And in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure.'" In God's covenant with Abram, he promises that the people will be delivered from Egypt, that they will be delivered from slavery, that they will leave the land with great possessions. But he also promises a judgment for the people that live in this land that God is giving them. "The sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." You see, not only does God have a plan for Israel, not only has he delivered them and will he bring them into a land which they will call their own, but God will also use the children of Israel to execute his justice. They will be the instruments of God's wrath who will enter this land and destroy the peoples of the land for their sin. "The sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure," God tells Abram. And when the Israelites come into the land, the sin has reached its full measure, and God has ordained them through his angel who leads them to destroy them, for their sin has reached its full measure. Lest you think that this is something new and foreign to Scripture, turn with me to Genesis 18, verse 20. In Genesis 18, verse 20, God is again talking with Abraham, and he tells him this: "Then the Lord said, 'The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know.'" Abraham then proceeds to beg the Lord not to destroy these cities, for despite their sinfulness, Abram asks the Lord to save the city if there are only 10 people left. And of course, we know the story that God sends fire from heaven and Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed, for their sin has become great. As God brings his people to the promised land, this is the punishment that God has for the people. Yes, he is a God of grace in that he is giving this land to his people, whom he has delivered from slavery. But God is also just in that he is sending these people, led by his angel, the angel who has his name in him, to destroy these people for their sin and their wickedness. There is a separation going on in our text, a separation between God's people and the people of this world who live their lives in sin and worshiping false gods. And God is very specific in our text that these people are not to have peace with the Israelites. Look at the end of our passage, verse 32. "Do not make a covenant with them or with their gods. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me, because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you." God is telling his people that they must not make peace with these enemies, that they must not make a covenant with them, that they must not allow them to live in the land with them, or they will cause them to sin. Soon these enemies of God, which God has sent his angel and his people to destroy, will become their friends. God does not want his people to become friends with the world. God does not want them to be friends with those who worship other gods, those who may cause them with their worship to cause the Israelites to turn away from God. And what is the promise? Look at verse 25. "Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan." God has a promise for his people. If they worship him, if they listen to this angel, if they pay attention and obey and do not rebel, God has a glorious land for them to live in, a land like none other ever upon this earth. His blessing will be upon their food and water, or their bread, as some of your translations say, their bread and water. He will take away their sickness. They won't be sick. He will take away their miscarriage and barrenness. That will vanish from amongst them. And they will experience a full lifespan as they serve the Lord in this land. Well, as we look ahead throughout the Scriptures, there is no place in the Old Testament where we read that the Israelites experienced this. There is no place in the rest of their history that after they enter the land, that they experience a time where there is always the blessing of bread and water, where there is always no sickness or miscarriage or barrenness in their land. The Israelites did not experience this tremendous blessing that God had planned for them. and why? This same angel tells them in the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 2, this angel of the Lord that has led them and that has brought them into this land comes back to them and tells them this in Judges 2, verse 1. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? Now remember, therefore, I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides. Their gods will be a snare to you. The angel appears once again in the book of Judges, and he tells the people that they have not listened to him, that they have not obeyed him, that they have rebelled against him. Instead of breaking down their altars, they have allowed them to be there. Instead of refusing to make covenants with the people throughout their history made covenants with the people of the land. They made peace with them instead of destroying them. Instead of driving them out, they allowed them to stay with them. They worshiped their gods. They lived like them. And soon there was no longer any separation. The people did not obey. And instead of God's angel driving out their enemies from the land so that they could enjoy a land with no sickness, with no barrenness, God raised up a foreign enemy who came and drove his own people out of this land. Those who were there to drive out the people have now been driven out. The children of Israel failed miserably to obey what God had ordained for them at Mount Sinai. They were driven out. And so God has a plan for his people. The first Israel has failed. The Israel who did not listen to the angel who had God's name in him. But God would send someone else. God would send another angel, an angel who had his name in him. This same angel who would be named God's Son. This Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come into this world, and God would announce from heaven at his baptism that this is my Son, whom I am well pleased. This Old Testament angel had his distance from God's people. He stood at a distance. He led his people at a distance. He did not come and dwell with his people. But this Lord Jesus Christ came, and he carries the very name of God. God has announced him as his very Son, and he also was sent into the wilderness. He also was tempted. And in Matthew 4, we read these words. Matthew 4, verse 3, we read that the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. "All this I will give to you if you bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus, as the new Israel, fulfills what the first Israel failed to do. They could not obey. They did not listen to the angel. They did not destroy their enemies. They did not make separation. But Jesus comes and he obeys perfectly. He obeys the word of God. He is not tempted by the tempter and led into sin. But he overcomes what the tempter is telling him. He does not make friends with this world. But he brings about separation. He obeys. He does not rebel. He does not give in to what he is told and do the things which might bring him pleasure. But he overcomes. And as he enters and walks through the land, it is the Lord Jesus who represents heaven, who feeds his people with bread and water. It is the Lord Jesus who takes away sickness when he meets the leper and the paralyzed man and they are healed. It is the Lord Jesus who takes away the barrenness of the land and the miscarriages. And it is the Lord Jesus who brings not only a long lifespan, but eternal life. Listen to the words of John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. Jesus comes and does what the first Israel could not do. They could not obey. Jesus comes to obey for them. He comes to obey so that his people may go to the place that God has for them. Not a temporary place on this earth like the first Israel was to enjoy, but an eternal place. A place that is only in heaven. A place that only people can enter through him who has prepared it and brought us there. Now perhaps this morning, as you have read our scripture passage, you have thought to yourself, what about those children of Israel? How could they be so foolish? God appears to them in power and glory on this mountain. He gives them specific instructions, and all they have to do is obey this angel. And there they fall into sin. They do exactly what they weren't supposed to do. They listen to the ways of the world. They live on their own desires and lusts, and they worship other gods. How could they be so foolish? But would you have done any better? Paul tells us in the book of Romans that all have sinned and that all fall short of the glory of God. Man is created with a nature which does not love God, which does not obey, which does not love and desire to serve him. And if it were not for God's grace and the grace of his very own Son, you would be no better than the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. They deserve to be wiped off the earth because of God's righteous judgment for their sins. But so does everyone deserve this. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come and given his obedience. And he has gone to the cross and taken the curse of God's judgment, the punishment that you deserve, upon himself. He has risen from the grave so that those who believe in him and who know him as God's angel, as God's son, as God's savior, have hope. He brings separation. He brings righteousness. He is calling his people not to be friends of the world, but to live for him and by him. And as we look at our passage this morning, we are seeing a preview of God's final judgment. For in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us this: "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood." At the end of time, Jesus will bring about the final separation. There will be those that will enter the land and live forever in a land that has bread and water, that has no sickness or barrenness, where there is an eternal lifespan, a place that God has prepared. And there are those who will live outside of that city, those who did not listen to Jesus, those who rebelled against him and everything that he did, those who will live outside, away, who have been wiped out. This morning, our passage is calling us to look to Christ. It is calling us to pay attention to him and to listen to what he is telling us, to live our lives for him, to not be a friend of the world and the evil practices of this world. The text is asking each one of us, how are we doing? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the glorious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we see so clearly in our text. For Lord, we thank you that you have sent your Son to do what we could never do, to obey you perfectly, to not rebel against you, and to separate from the world. And we thank you, Lord, that we can put our faith in him and know that as we follow him and love him, the punishment that is due those who do not know him is not for us. We thank you, O God, that he has taken that punishment upon himself on the cross. And we pray that as we live our lives for him, you would keep us from being a friend to the world, from making peace with the sins of this world, but that you would drive us to love him and to serve him all of our lives. We pray, O God, that through his grace, we may look forward to entering the city, the place that he has prepared for us, where there is no sickness, no death, and no pain, and where we may live with him forevermore. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.